All right, welcome to this session. The next few sessions, anyway, are going to be about the worship leader. Maybe that's you. Maybe you want to be a worship leader. Maybe you're the pastor and you want to know more about what a worship leader is doing or what they could do. We're going to be looking at how to recruit people. That's the one we're doing now. But how do you practice? How do you prepare for a rehearsal? What does the worship leader do at the actual service? So all the things that sort of relate to what a worship leader would do. So the first problem is, recruiting people. Oh, by the way, this is my wife, Marie. I mentioned her earlier in a few sessions, and she is the music director at our church, and she's done an incredible job at every church we've ever done. You'll see some of the videos of the band that she leads and the singers and so on, and I think you'll agree with me, she knows what she's doing. So really, she should be teaching this class. I'm teaching it because I know how to do PowerPoint, probably, and put things in order. But she really is the one that knows how to actually make it. You know, there's a lot to knowing what to do, and we're trying to help you with what to know and all this information and so on. But in the end, you have to be able to work with people, and my wife does a really good job of that. So, as a way to just introduce her to you, we'll just sing a little, it's an old hymn, Dwell in Me, O Blessed Spirit. How does that hymn go, the original? Dwell, I can't remember how the original goes.
Can't either.
Dwell in me, O Blessed Spirit, da 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 da. Anyway, we're going to do a little different tune. Dwell in me, O blessed Spirit, how I need thy help divine. In the way of life eternal, keep, oh, keep this heart of mine. Dwell in me, O blessed Spirit, gracious teacher, friend divine. In the way of life eternal, keep, oh, keep this heart of mine. All right, we'll be doing a little bit of singing a little bit later, but right now we're going to talk about how do you recruit people? Maybe you don't have people, or maybe you have just one piano player that can just read the notes, and you're trying to get into contemporary music. They don't know how to read chords. You don't have a drummer. You don't have a guitar player. Maybe you have one person that maybe can sing a little bit. Maybe no one knows how to sing harmony, or whatever your situation is. How would you recruit more people to be on your worship team? There's some common issues that most churches face. Number one, they lack musicians and singers and have no idea how to get any. Number two,
lack of training and no idea where to start.
And that might be you, and that's what we're here to help you with. Number three, older people wanting old music and younger people wanting new music, and there's a bit of tension between the two. Mm-hmm. Our church doesn't have that anymore, but our first church had that. They were singing only the older songs. And do you remember how we introduced new songs?
Yeah, we did a kids program where all of their grandchildren were involved, and then that just went over really well because they want their kids to participate and they want them to succeed. So,
right, and those songs with that thing were contemporary.
They were contemporary.
And so all of a sudden we had all those songs that we could do.
Right.
And sometimes we'd introduce a new song to begin with or to end the service with.
Right.
And after a few years we had enough to make a little book. Mm-hmm. And we made a little book, and once it was a book, it could be used during the service. So Some churches, it takes a little bit of coaxing to get there, but I think most people in the end appreciate it. Number four, a bunch of people that want to sing, but no one wants to practice. We had that in our present church.
Yeah, when we first came, people would come to the service that were involved in the worship that Sunday, but they'd show up maybe a half an hour before the service was to start, not having, maybe they didn't even know what the song list was right for that day. And that was just chaos. Nobody knew what, yeah, when does the verse come next, or the chorus, or it was just,
right, so
they weren't leading.
One would start and the other one stopped in a different place.
And then
they'd
be
start
giggling, and yeah, it just really wasn't worshipful.
No. It just takes practice.
It takes practice.
You know?
Yep.
Or number five, a tendency to cater the music to those who complain the loudest. What do people complain about?
Maybe their favorite song's not being sung.
Yeah.
The one that they've just heard on the radio.
Right.
That they love.
Or they don't like contemporary, and, you know, and they want more than one hymn, or they want all contemporary and they don't want any hymns, or they don't like the drums,
or
it's
they
too
want
loud.
All hymns and
yeah,
no contemporary.
I had one guy say the drums were too soft. Only once.
Ah, okay.
Okay, number six, tension between letting anyone who wants to participate do so and recognizing and developing people's gifts. That's a hard one. I mean, you want people to participate. You want more people to participate. But if you make participation your only goal, then you get a lot of participation, but the quality goes way down. And, you know, you get a guitar player that practices once a month playing with a guy who practices 3 hours a day, mm-hmm, and soon the guy that practices 3 hours a day, you know, doesn't want to do this anymore because everything has to go down to that level. Mm-hmm. So how do you develop a program where everyone has their own place to play? Mm-hmm. Number seven, wanting something better but not willing to work at it.
Right, and that ties right in with the last one.
Yeah. Well, what is it, how much work does it take?
It can take a lot of work. I mean, there has to be a commitment to a certain...
Like what? Like in our band, they're committed to at least what?
Well, definitely the rehearsal.
Right, and how long is that?
That takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, to mm-hmm, longer if there's something new that we're pulling off.
And do the members have to practice beforehand?
And they are expected to be working
so
on it beforehand.
It's like
as
a
well
2-3-4 hour commitment, then an hour
per
before
week
the service. Yeah.
Right.
So it's
right
takes a commitment.
Right.
You have classically trained musicians who have a difficult time adjusting to the contemporary format.
Somebody who's been trained classically or has had lots of lessons is used to seeing every single note written down on the page, and then I play what those notes are. And when you're doing worship music the way it is now, it's mainly chords. So if I see an F over a C, I know that I'm playing an F chord with
like
a C
example
in the bass. So this is an F chord, and I'm putting a C in the bass.
And you're not playing the melody.
I'm not playing the melody.
Which
and I'm not playing what's on a page. I am.
You have to just know the chords.
Exactly. And I might have to work at that. It's something that it takes a while to adjust to. It's
so
a
it's
different way.
It's like, I mean, the problem is you have guitar players, that's how they play,
mm-hmm,
and all the other instruments just play from the chord point of view, mm-hmm, and that's the way contemporary music is. So, I don't know, a lot of times classically trained people, I mean, it takes a lot of
right
lessons to get to be able to play all the notes. And
I
yet
know you're asking me not to play all the notes in a
yeah
sense. So ego also
yeah
plays into
yeah
it because, hey, I am able to do all this, and maybe I have two measures here in the intro where I get to
yeah
do my thing. But for most of it, and especially in some of the newer stuff, I play very little. I might
right
even just be doing a pad where it's background stuff and the guitar is doing much more.
Right.
So that can be a little bit of a blow.
And, you know, I took all my lessons long ago. Do I have to learn something new?
Right.
And I mean, it doesn't take long to learn, but some just don't want to do it. Number nine, music people who are more ego-orientated than worship-orientated and don't really understand the difference. We've had that, where people, they like the attention, they like the microphone, they love singing, they like singing in front of people, and they like performing, like, you know, performing for people, getting people to really get excited about what they're doing. And worship, which is, it's, I'm trying to not draw attention to myself. I'm only trying, if I do draw attention to myself, it's to draw attention back to God. It's worship. It's not about me or the players. In fact, in heaven, we probably won't have any worship bands because we'll all be just singing our hearts out, and we won't need someone saying, okay, now let's all sing. Mm-hmm. Number 10, worship facility problems with difficult acoustical issues. Our church was an old grocery store, so the ceiling is low. They had all these ceiling tiles. The sound was just dead as can be, and we're trying to do things to improve that. But, you know, your worship space, it might be semi-outside, and buses are going by, or who knows. Those are difficult things you have to work with, too. Sound system issues, feedback, it's too loud or distorted. We're going to we're going to have three sessions on sound and what we can do about it. Number 12, a soundboard operator problems. Right. I mean, you guys practice real hard, but...
Oh, we're totally dependent on whoever's behind the board, because they can make us sound good or they can make us sound really, right. really horrible.
Yeah. And in relying on the sound operator for the, you know, the guitar solo, and he's like 3 seconds late, mm-hmm. and someone's mic isn't on, and, you know, so it, you know, and maybe a sound person has been doing it a long time in your church, and maybe their ears are gone. We're going to have a whole session on that, too. What are the major problems, what we can do about it. 13, leadership issues. It's like, is the worship leader in charge? Is the sound person in charge? Is the excellent guitar player in charge? And if you, the worship leader, don't come in and take charge, someone else
right.
will want to do it. So those are a lot of the issues. But if you don't have a team, you got to somehow go out and get a team. So why is it necessary to recruit a team of worship players? In the past, we only needed one organist and one song leader. I mean, with the hymns, it was like...
There wasn't even a song leader.
Yeah, you didn't.
The organist just played.
Just played, and the organist played every single note, the soprano, the melody, the alto, the tenor, the bass, and it was like, here we go. They did a little introduction, and off you went. But what's changed?
Well, with a contemporary way, you try and involve somebody usually on a keyboard, someone on a guitar. That's the bare minimum. And then there's someone that's singing with that, hopefully some harmonies. So the bare minimum now is the song leader, the person leading the melody at least, and someone providing accompaniment. That's
right.
The bare minimum.
So there's more music people that want to use their gifts, mm-hmm. More instruments would like to play. And so you have all these people, and now, the single act, someone could just go and practice, the organist could practice on their own, come and just do it. But now you have a team of people like a sport, and, you know, you have to practice or it's going to be total chaos.
And the more people involved, the more exponentially it gets involved.
Yeah.
It gets more complicated. So the more people involved, the more practice is actually needed.
Yeah. You'd think maybe less because you have more people involved to carry the load, but it really becomes more. Yep. Some of the benefits, more people using their gifts
rather
than just one person. Now we have a bunch of people. Yep. More enthusiasm in a group. You know, one person practicing all by themselves is, you know, but here with a group, there's a group dynamic thing that happens. There's something to work towards. Hey, we have to put this together, and what part are you going to do? And there's more pieces to figure out, which is more complicated and more work. But on the other hand, it's more rewarding, and it's really cool when it works out. More people really care about how the praise and worship goes.
Yep, more ownership.
Yeah, so we have so many singers and so many players, and whether they're on for today, They care about the whole worship program, and they're singing their hearts out, even though they're not up front.
Right.
Well, where do you begin in your recruitment? Again, you know, where do you start? Well, you start on the inside, I think. You start with who you have coming to your church. If you have a few talented people, then just start with them.
Mm-hmm.
When we came to our present church, they had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. The church had thrived and had gone downhill, and they had this everybody participate, and it was just mass chaos. And so, remember, we came in and we said, you know, let's just start with a few people and get that well organized, and then expand from there. Mm-hmm. So we sort of made one little team out of all of it. And how did that go?
That did not go well at all. There were hurt feelings by that because, hey, I used to be on stage and I got some of my self-importance from that, and it was a way that I could serve, possibly.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're telling me that I can't. And it was hard to convince them that, no, we just want to try this for a while, and then hopefully we'll expand and include more people, hopefully you, in the future.
Yeah.
But
It's hard, but I think what helps in all of that is to say temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're doing a renovation at our church, and I picked out a color that's a little, you know, for some people they're like, okay, they can't see the whole vision, you know, like I can see it. And one person called me and, you know, was explaining their concerns and so on. I said, you know what? This is just temporary. We're just going to do this. And if it turns out poorly, I will repaint the whole thing. It's just temporary. In other words, just try it and we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, we can always switch things. And, you know, I think it kind of helped. Number two. Get the farm team going, okay? We talked about that in another session, that you have to get people learning the guitar, learning a part, have a singing class, start developing the talent that you have. We had a guitar class once, we had 20 people take the class, and then 2 months later, we had that group of 20 lead the singing on Sunday morning. So we had 20 guitars. Some of them learned well, some of them didn't. Mm-hmm. But all together, it went really well. Do a choir.
Mm-hmm.
You can teach people. You can find out if they're disciplined enough to come to the choir practices. You can hear them sing. You can teach them a few parts, see who can learn, see who can't, you know. Another crazy idea I had is do karaoke night. I was on a Guatemala mission trip, and we had karaoke night, and some people from our church were there, and I heard some people sing that I'd never heard sing before, and some of them did really horribly, but some of them did surprisingly well, and I could think, wow, you know, a little bit of help, and that person probably could be a worship leader. So I guess start creating music and music things, and then you can kind of listen. I mean, sometimes you're sitting next to someone and you go, hey, they got a nice voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you invite them maybe to a practice. So that's where you start. You start on the inside, and let's say you don't have much talent on the inside, or you've exhausted that and you're working on it, but it takes a while to develop. You might consider going to the outside. Ask a bigger church if they have some talent to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're struggling along. Let's say you're just a new church, or you're a smaller church, and you just, you know, these big churches have all kinds of people that are just sitting on the bench with their talents. They have gifts and abilities, but they have nowhere to go with them. And if you ask them to help, they might just jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to the local music store and ask for help.
Yep, we did that. At one of our church plants.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough people that were helping us or could carry over the parts,
right.
And we could really use the help at that time.
Yeah.
And the local music store guy was an excellent guitarist.
Yeah.
He was a Christian as well, which helped.
Yeah.
But it hasn't always been that case.
No.
We have had guitar help from someone that really wasn't anything. You know, it wasn't he was anti-Christian or anything, but when we asked him to help out, he came, and he's now a worship leader full-time and does a beautiful job.
Number three, check out the local talent in the community and ask for their help. You might go to places where local people are playing and you see a guitar player playing, and afterwards you go up and ask them, hey, what are you doing on Sundays?
Right, the coffee shop, local coffee shop.
Yeah, local coffee shop places or you know, asking around. Well, what do you look for? If you're out there looking for people to be in your worship, what kinds of people do you look for? First of all, look for those that have more musical talent than what you have inside your church. I mean, if you have a good drummer in church, then just use that. If you have a good singer, use that. But if you don't, you want someone that's, you know, at least talented to start with. Number two, those who have a walk with God. I mean, if they have a walk with God, especially worship singers, you want people that know God and love God saying to people, hey, let's sing now to God. Mm-hmm. Those who are interested in a walk with God. Okay, maybe they don't have a walk with God, but they're interested. And then finally, those who are not sure about Christianity. Okay, this is where it's different. And the guy you talked about, we had moved to Vancouver, and we were going to plant a church, and it was just Marie and I, so we have a band of two. And I was, you know, I can play the guitar, but I'm not, you know, outrageously excellent at it. And there was a Christian, someone that we knew that was a Christian that lived like two blocks away from us. And I met them, and they knew we were planting a church. And they came to me and said, hey, our neighbor across the street is an excellent, excellent guitar player, but they don't go to church, but they should. Right. So they told me the person's address. And so I walked over there and knocked on his door. And he opened the door. I had never seen him. He had never seen me. And I said, your neighbor said that you play the guitar, and I'm interested in guitar players. So he invited me in, and he sang, and then I said, you know, we're having a grand opening service in 6 weeks, and it would be really cool if you could play with us. You know, we really need the help. So he said, okay. So we had our grand opening service. He played the guitar. It went really, really, really well. And after the service, I said, wow, this was awesome. We're meeting next week, too. And, you know, could you? And he said, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll play next week. So he came and he played the next week. And after that, I said, we're meeting next week, too. Do you think? And little by little by little, he became a guitar player. Now, he wasn't yet a Christian. And yet he's playing in a Christian worship band. I wouldn't ask a non-Christian or someone who isn't sure about the whole thing to lead the singing.
Right.
You know, that is like worship. And I'd be putting him in an awkward position by saying, I want you to sing songs you don't yet believe. But he's just playing the guitar. And he's hearing the words. And so, you're going to have to make that judgment for yourself. But like Marie said, that person, you know, became a part of the band. And then when we left that church to go do other things, he's the one that took it over. And he's still the one that's in charge. And their music is awesome. They're just building a $4 million building after all these years. And so, and his family, you know, walking with God. I mean,
so that definitely was a God thing.
It was.
He was brought into our path.
Yes.
Not sure that always happens. You have
no.
to evaluate.
Yes.
He was an incredibly humble person,
right.
is.
Yeah.
And was just willing to do whatever.
Yes.
So
you have to, you know, you have to balance those kinds of things. Yeah. And hopefully if someone does come on board, they do grow in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, how to vet potential worship team members on an ongoing basis? You know, how do you deal with who, you know, people want to be on the team, or, you know, you want to ask someone? I mean, what do you do? And I think there's a few things that would help in terms of, you know, finding and deciding who can be on the worship team. And one of them is to have some kind of criteria in place. If someone just comes up and says, I want to be on the worship team, and you have nothing to say but okay or no, you have to say, well, there are some requirements. And here's a few that you might put in place. Participated in choir. You know, if you have a choir, I mean, we have a choir, what, one, two, three times
a couple
a year.
Times a year.
Yeah.
Christmas, Easter, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Special occasions.
And if the person isn't humble enough or willing to, you just put the time into that, then it's like, well, So you can say to them, oh, you want to be on the worship team? Fine. What we do is we have person participate in the choir first.
Mm-hmm.
Or can they sing parts?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to make that the requirement, but if you do, it really eliminates a lot of people that can't sing, because if you can sing parts, generally, you can carry a tune. Regular church attender,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially for singers. We have some people now too that, you know, we're kind of noticing that they're more regular at church when they have to sing, and when they're not up front, sometimes they're not, and it's like, you know, what kind of leadership is that?
Right, and it makes it difficult just from the practical standpoint of you don't know our songs well enough to lead them.
Right.
So, and they might be excellent. I know one of our people, he is awesome. He's great. And he has got the great attitude. He has everything that you want in one of your worship leaders. But he's also very involved with his own band, which goes around to churches. Well, it's not working so well because he really doesn't know our songs that well. So then when it's our Sunday for him to sing, I'm spending lots of practice time saying, no, that's not quite how it goes.
Right. So it doesn't feel like you're a part of the team.
Right.
D, willing to sit in on a few practices. I mean.
Right. One of our requirements is if you're interested, and let's say you're a new attender, first of all, you need to know what our church is about. And have to have a commitment to that. We are a people. We are a body.
Yeah.
Do you get what we're about? And then are you humble enough to just come to practices for at least 6 weeks and see how our practices go, and see how you fit into just that smaller team.
Audition. So, you know, eventually you want to sit down with them, do an interview.
Yep.
What do you do? I'll
do a one-on-one, just a conversation. Who are you? What kind of, do we get along as people?
Why did you come to this church?
Yep.
Why do you care about our music thing?
Yep.
Yep. B, have them sing or play a song they know.
Yep. Just to see, well, where are they at?
Yeah.
Can they hold pitch of a melody? And then if I sing parts with them, can they hold their part as well? Or if I sing the melody, can they do a part? So just get an idea. And that's just for the singers. It's not for the instrumentalists.
Trial period.
Yep. That's that 6 weeks I was talking about.
Practice for a while. A few services, then maybe a little evaluation, you know, is this working out?
And that can even be in conjunction with the rest of the worship team that already exists. Do you feel like we as a body could get along with this person?
Right. 'Cause
there has to be that comfort with each other, too. It's a very trust-based group.
Right. So how do you... How do you say no?
Saying no is like the worst thing ever. And I try not to say no. If there is some way that they can help out, I want to say yes.
Okay, what do you mean some way?
Well, if they can hold a melody.
Okay.
If they, I'm just talking for the singers now. But if they can stay on pitch, I can probably use you if you are committed and you're willing to work at what you're doing.
Okay, so I'm a guitar player, and I'm not really that good. So what? How do you say no, or how do you let nature take its course? Or
quite often, and I've had that before with guitar players, let's say. They see the quality that already exists, and usually they'll say, I'm not willing to work that hard. I see that person who puts in that much time, and I don't have that much time to give, or I'm not willing to.
Okay, here's the person that, you know, in the United States we have this thing called American Idol, and people try out, and some of them can't sing at all.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, you could put them on the team and then tell the sound person to turn their volume off, but...
Right, that feels quite
dishonest. Yeah, so how do you... You know.
And you're not really helping the person then either.
Right.
How are they to...
So what I've seen you do in the past is if they maybe have some potential, it's like, well, you know, here's the reality. You're not holding your own pitch. I'm willing to give you a few lessons to see if we can overcome some of that. Or your voice is really pinched and we can work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, how about the person that just, they have this inflated view. People have told me I have a great voice and I would be a great worship leader, and they just simply do not.
Right. We actually had one lady who, that was exactly the situation. I felt horrible because, I mean, she was worshiping when she was singing.
Yeah.
So, you know, she looked great up there.
Yeah.
But she was so distracting to the rest of the team that they were having a hard time staying on pitch with her. So I did have to sit her down and, you know, break her heart.
Yeah. Yeah, one way, I remember.
But I did also offer her voice lessons and spent hours and hours with her in lessons.
Yeah. But I remember one that where, you know, we taped them singing, the whole band singing, but just we could isolate their one voice. And I just had him listen.
Yeah.
Just, you know, this is what you sound like.
Yeah.
And when he listened to it, he's like, okay. Because he wanted to sing solos. He wasn't getting the place that he was singing with the worship team, but he wanted more. And so when he listened to himself, he looked at me and said, so I'm just lucky to be on the team at all. Mm-hmm. And I said, maybe.
Yeah.
And then he was okay. So it's hard because there's egos involved and some people have a low view of their abilities, and so you're trying to encourage them and you give them roles and you ask them to sing maybe alone for something, a little solo, a little part or something. And then you got the person that has the inflated view and they see that and they go, well, how come I didn't get asked to sing that? And then so you have people that think too highly of themselves and people that don't. And as you're helping one, the other one gets jealous, and so there's jealousy and the egos and who gets what. And then you have some people who, no matter how much energy you give them and how much, here you sing the solo and the microphone and everything, and you lift them up and give them opportunity, it's never enough.
Right.
They want more. They just sang a solo last week and they want to sing it this week, and they don't see that no one else is really stepping, you know, they're taking all the spots. And it's just, you know, you're dealing with
lots of ego
and emotions.
Right.
So in some ways, you're like a den mother trying to, you know, rein in the kids. It's just like a mom with the kids. And this one has this personality and you're trying to make a team. And I guess it always comes back to that. Look, you know, you have to constantly remind the team that we're here to worship. We're not here about us. We're here to help people sing. In heaven, we won't exist because everyone will be singing.
Right.
So that is the goal with all that we do.